This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
House Judiciary will come to order. Welcome to House Judiciary. Reminder to turn off your cell phones. And Charlie, I'd like to introduce, I have a special guest here. Charlie, why don't you stand up? Come on up here. This is my youngest child, Charlie. Why don't you go ahead and press the button on that mic and tell us how old you are and where you're from.
I'm from Sioux Falls, and I'm 12 years old.
Where's your belt? All right. He's the youngest of three. Thanks for being here, Charlie. All right. Reminder to sign in if you'd like to testify. If the amendment's ready on 1088, I think we'll probably try to take that first. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representatives Hunt?
Here.
Johns?
Here.
DeSanto?
Here.
Haugard?
Here.
Thanks.
Wellner? Latterell? Peterson?
Here.
Russell?
Here.
Westra? Gibson?
Here.
Killer? Stevens?
Here.
Nicholson?
Here.
Oh, quorum.
Must be Friday, but we have a quorum. Do we have a motion on the minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Representative Peterson, second by Representative Hunt to approve the minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Thank you. We will proceed to House Bill 1088. We did take all the testimony on this bill last meeting, so we're open to this amendment, and we're open to new testimony on this if necessary, but we certainly don't need to repeat what we heard last time. Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I do have the amendment, and it's being distributed. And I'll just explain that as briefly as I can. It's about three pages, I think. In essence, what the amendment does is it leaves it as far as the bill is concerned, what it does is it basically rewrites and reorganizes current law. So there's no policy change with the amendment. There's no policy change whatsoever in the bill itself. So at this point, it's going to be just style and form. Now, what the amendment does is it leaves the procedure rewrites in place in sections 1 through 20. So the procedure is for forfeiture is rewritten and consolidated into a single section. So that procedure refers to multiple crimes. In this case, child pornography and drug offenses. You know, if I ever get my way, maybe the DUI works its way in there, but at this point it's just those two crimes. Okay? Now, what the amendment will do is it strikes as currently in the bill sections 21 and 22. The material or the content that ties to those sections will now remain where it is in current law instead of being rewritten in this bill. And those really refer to the types of property that can be seized or are seized as it relates to those crimes. And then there's a new section, or two sections, 21 and 22. There's a new 21 and 22. And basically, you know, that's that current property list, which includes, an amendment that cross-references the new procedure. So that's all it really does, kind of, you know, restates, but references the new procedure again, because we still needed that. And then we delete sections 23 to 26. Those will stay where they are today in current law. And then, let's see what else, 27. We're removing the sections The deleted, those formerly deleted sections that stop the repeal of those sections, and they are 27, sections 27, 39, 40, 41, and 48. 39, 40, 41 are, I'm checking my notes here, property summarily forfeited. So, drugs, cocaine, pipes, you know, marijuana, what have you. And then 48 is the section that refers to child pornography and materials of that nature. So that that's a layman's summary of the amendment. And just remember, from a intent perspective, all we're doing here is, at this point, is consolidating the process into a new section of law. Of course, once these get codified, you know, there will be some different locations, but that's the way this reads at this point. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Hager. I'm going to go to the second page of your amendment and ask you a question. On so section 21, the following are subject pursuant. So that's current statute. At the end, we're adding a sentence here, or two, one sentence, I guess. Starts out property described in subdivision one. So right at the end of section 21, I think.
I'm with you.
Okay. What, if we're not changing the process, what made you decide to add that? I'm not sure it changes the process. It's a question.
This, yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This section, if I understand correctly, this talks about the property, not the process. And note that it talks about the, you know, what property will be summarily forfeited. And so this is a just, it's a cleanup reference to that. It's not a reference to the procedure at all. It's a reference to the properties that are subject to forfeiture under the Act. You are stretching me, just so you know.
I just submit to the committee for their consideration. It looks like maybe the drugs, we're just making that procedure a little bit clearer and say, hey, it's immediately forfeited.
Correct.
Which is doesn't seem objectionable, but I'll just throw that out there, see if the other people are reading that the same way. Thank you for presenting the amendment.
Mr. Chair,
well, go ahead.
Well, I'll go ahead and, you know, I'll stand down and wait for questions. To me, if you'd asked me a year ago if I'd have been here today, I would have said it's inconceivable. But I think this is a good change. I think when we adopted the child pornography. References or statutes here a couple years ago, you know, even then I think the thought was to, you know, put this together in a procedure to do some consolidation. And I think the comment then was this, you know, that's tomorrow's problem. Well, today is tomorrow in this case. And that's why this is a good piece of legislation. And a lot of effort's been put into it. A lot of folks have weighed in, and I hope you'll pass the amendment and pass the bill.
Very good. Thank you. I think we might be.
We haven't had any opponents.
Yeah. Anyone else that would wish to testify on the amendment?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. We approve of the amendment 1088YB in concept. We just received it this morning. We do have complete faith in the LRC in drafting, but this is a three-page amendment to a 28-page bill. To our reading and understanding, it does look to take care of the issues with the policy shift that we had in the previous bill, and that it does look to move the process section of forfeiture to another chapter, leave the criminal aspects where they are. And again, in concept, I do believe that is a good idea, because if other forfeiture things are added to criminal law or changed later at some other type of bill, that you don't have to continue to redraft and reiterate the forfeiture statutes in every single criminal section. So having a procedural section, I think, does make good sense. This is extensive, though, being able to make sure that everything is up to par is certainly a consideration. And to briefly, for just 1 second, talk about what the chair brought up, that the contraband shall be summarily forfeited. That concept is correct, in that someone's not going to come in and say, I want a hearing on getting my cocaine back or my paraphernalia. It's just summarily forfeited. And I believe that the reason that is restated there is because that was actually a part of the process section, which is being moved. So putting it back right there does make sense to us. So I will be happy to stand by for any questions.
Say, Mr. Pankratz, just for anyone that might be listening on the internet, would you identify yourself so they know?
Jeremy Pankratz from the Attorney General's office.
And then I'm going to ask you a question while we're being loose in our process here. I'm going to go to the last page now. And there's some lines being crossed out, and then there's some new lines. Have you had a chance to read those? I'm wondering what the net effect of that is in terms of, is that going to affect who gets any proceeds from a forfeiture?
I have reviewed it, and I'm looking back through the original amended bill right now. So long as that language appears in the process section, it doesn't change anything. And I'm just trying to find the spot in the original proposed HB 1088 exists. Okay, I'm looking at page 8, which would be in section 20, article or section B, if seized pursuant to this chapter, proceeds shall be used to reimburse the actual cost of criminal investigation. So I think that is still going to exist in the new one. Again, that's a 20-minute reading. I'd be more comfortable if we had more time to look at that, but it looks like it's going to remain the same, if that's as vague as I can make it.
No, it was good. It was actually answered the question. You said, I think this is what it is. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any other testifiers on the amendment? Committee questions? Opponents? Further questions on the amendment? We'll move to committee discussion and or action.
Maybe a question for Representative Hager.
Go ahead. Representative Haugard.
Just simply, have you run this by the defense bar at all to inquire as to what they would see as issues with this?
Mr. Chair, thank you for the question. So the amendment itself?
Well, the bill or the amendment.
I have made best efforts to make sure all the stakeholders were involved previous. I'm not going to say with any confidence that they've seen the amendment, but because it's primarily a style and form, I think they would have been here if they had additional concerns. I guess that's the way I would read that.
Thank you, Representative Hager. And the defense bar was here on the original. Yeah. Oh, and there we go. So they're in the room. You're welcome.
Sorry. Downstairs. Hi, Lindsay Ryder-Rabb. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Criminal Defense Attorneys. I would tell you I have not had an opportunity to review the amendment. I was in another committee. Just briefly, in speaking with Mr. Pankratz, I understand that some of the language that the committee found objectionable at the last committee hearing, that was taken out. We were neutral at the last hearing. That's why you didn't hear from me specifically. My understanding, again, this is a rather extensive amendment, and I have not had an opportunity to review it. But if what people are indicating to me is correct, which I guess I have no reason to believe that it's not, that my understanding is it's more trying to ensure that the provisions are all in the same part of the code. And if that is indeed the intent of the amendment, to make that consistent, I guess I don't have a strong feeling one way or another on the amendment. So,
further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stevens.
Well, so can someone tell me if this is true or not, that whether we pass this bill or we don't pass the bill, the law is not going to change, nor the process? I mean, and I guess that's what the real question is here, and I don't know. I mean, you know, this is a three-page amendment that we just received, and I guess my feeling, my concern is if nothing's going to change, then why should we change it and not study it maybe a little more to make sure that, you know, everything is right. And it's not a reflection on anybody who drew it up. And certainly, you know, I like conceptually, Representative, what you're doing here, because I think, you know, from a practitioner standpoint, having all of that in one spot makes a lot of sense. It makes it a lot easier. But I must tell you, I've not had a chance to go through this to even look at it to see, does this impact this or how that, you know, impacts other areas. And it would seem to me that, you know, if we're not going to substantively change the law or substantively change the process, maybe we ought to be looking at this and just to make sure that is the case. So I guess that's what my issue is.
Mr. Chair. Thank you. Thank you for the comment. Oh, yeah, you are in action.
Unless there's an objection from the committee, go ahead.
You know, and certainly we fast-tracked this amendment, you know, I think even though at this point there isn't really a change in the law at this stage in the process, I think just on the merits of the streamlining of the statute, it's worth sending forth. I would suggest that this whole idea of seizure and at what point it happens and what happens to the property or the assets seized is a subject worthy of further discussion, but that's not today, and that's not part of this bill. But I would say, as to the bill itself, I think it merits being moved forward in the process. And if we miss something in the minutia of the amendment, we've got ample time to deal with that.
We are on committee discussion and or action. The amendment's 1088YB. Yes. Go ahead.
I have a question for Mr. Pankratz, then, please. Mr. Pankratz, I respect the author of this bill's wanting to consolidate forfeiture provisions, but do we have any problem with the forfeiture provisions as they exist today, and do we have a forfeiture problem in the state of South Dakota, period?
Go ahead.
Jeremy Pankratz.
for the Attorney General's office to answer your question. First, do we believe that there's any issue with the forfeiture statutes as they exist? No, I do believe that they are working well, is the short answer. And what was the second question again? Do we have a problem with forfeiture in South Dakota? In terms of what is occurring nationally, do those problems exist in South Dakota? Not that we have seen. It can be a long discussion as to how and why property is taken and by whom and for what purpose. In South Dakota, it would be the Attorney General's office position that the way that it is operating right now does not have the pitfalls that are occurring in other areas with due process issues.
Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess at this time I would move due pass to get this out, and then I'll make some comments if I get a second.
We got a motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Is this on the amendment?
I took it as being on the amendment.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I would move the amendment.
Thank you. We have a motion on the amendment. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Representative Russell, second by Representative Hunt. Discussion on the motion?
None at this time.
None at this time. No. Any discussion on the motion? I would encourage the committee to vote yes for the amendment and move this bill forward. Madam all in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Ayes have it. Okay, now we are on 1088 as amended. Representative Russell.
I'd go ahead and move due pass.
As amended. We have a motion on 1088 as amended due pass. Do we have a second?
No.
Second by motion by Representative Russell, second by Representative Hunt. Due pass on 1088 as amended. Discussion on the motion.
As I walked in here today saw what we have in front of us, with as many of you, I had concerns about whether or not we should be moving this forward based upon what had transpired. But, you know, we had asked these folks to get together and work on it, and they did, and they exercised due diligence in going forward. And I think, frankly, that what they've come up with is something that would improve the law. By putting it into one section, its own section. And therefore, I think that, you know, it may not be exactly perfect at this point, but we should move it out to the floor. And if there's anything found, I presume that the sponsor would be willing to make any adjustments necessary as it moves forward. But I think that putting everything into one section on forfeitures makes a lot of sense. So for those reasons, I'd ask that we go ahead and oblige the representative from Minnehaha County and keep his bill alive here this morning.
Thank you, Representative Russell. Further discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, I am a little concerned about the fact that we did get this very extensive amendment today, and I understand that that's not necessarily intended, but there's a lot of material in this. And a couple of the presenters basically said that they feel it's okay, but they're not totally sure at this point in time. Having said that, I think that if this does go to the floor, there's going to be a weekend in here in which those that may not feel totally comfortable with the bill can do some research, contact the sponsor of the bill, and we can move this forward. So I think everybody seems to agree that this does make some sense. We're more concerned, does this bill create some other unintended consequences? And if so, I think there's enough time to be able to resolve some of that before a decision is made by the body. So I would encourage support of the due pass motion for those reasons. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Further discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stevens.
You know, I think that I think it's important for us as a committee to do our own work. And I don't like the idea of passing a bill on and then we're going to fix it on the floor when you have people that are not working with this type of legislation on a regular basis. And I think that's kind of where our expertise is supposed to kind of come into play. And so if we proceed with this where the bill's going to go forward, I'm going to vote no against it because, honestly, nobody out there has convinced me that they know what's in this bill and how it impacts it. I mean, everybody's got this whole deal, well, you know, I trust everybody, and you know what? I want to trust them, too. I mean, I really do, but that's not what I think our job is to do on this. And I think, the proper thing to do is either, number one, defer this so that everybody absolutely has a chance to look at it because, you know, I mean, look how many pages this is of changing line after line after line. And that's not a reflection on those who did it because I'm sure they're trying to do it the very best way. But I think our committee needs to do our job because if we're going to move it forward to the committee, our group is going to look at it and say, well, the Judiciary Committee approved this. They wanted it to be passed. And I think we shouldn't pass anything to the floor until we're ready. We're all aboard on it and say this is the way it should be done. And so nobody has convinced me that they've gone through this thing and line by line and looked at it and see exactly how it passed. I agree with the good representative that, you know, from a procedural standpoint, it would sure make the attorney's jobs a lot easier to go to one section and everybody knows how it is. But I really think it's a mistake on the committee's part to pass this. And I'm going to vote no against it, and hopefully that we as a committee can defer it over the weekend, as has been suggested by a good representative, so that everybody then indeed has a chance to look at it and say, I'm okay with this.
Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe I can speak for the other members on the committee who aren't attorneys to get this three-page amendment to this extensive bill as we sat down in this committee this morning is really not fair to any of us. And, you know, we only have a two-day weekend this weekend, and some of us have legislative coffees and other things to go to. I don't know as I'd really have the time to sit down and go line by line. I like to vote on my bills when I've become confident from the testimony and the other members of the committee that this bill is ready to go and ready to move forward to the floor because, you know, knowing what's out there on the floor, this bill could be debated for hours and hours and hours and hours, and we're sending it to people who aren't attorneys out there on the floor and expecting them to trust us as a committee. And, you know, I'm very proud to be on this Judiciary Committee, and I've been on it for 8 years. And the bills that we send out of here have been thoroughly vetted for the most part, and I'm comfortable with them on the floor, and I'm comfortable discussing them with my caucus members. But I'm really not comfortable passing this bill forward. So I agree with the previous speaker, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Well, you would. We spent most of our last committee meeting on forfeitures. We agreed we wanted to take convictions out. This amendment attempts to do it. In my desire to kind of, we've got a lot of bills to get through before crossover day. Maybe I have been pushing the sponsor too quickly to kind of move this through the agenda. So if we want to defer this to another day, that'd be fine. We can either withdraw the motion or have a motion, substitute motion. All right. Yeah, Representative Haugard. But I mean, at this point, Representative Haugard, if go ahead. Do you have a motion or?
Well, no. I'd just like to make the comment. I'm afraid that the sponsor that brought this, was trying to accomplish something that maybe now all we're going to do is change the chapters that it's under, which is fine too. But I'd still like to see the sponsor accomplish his goal and then also to have the defense bar understand the gravity of it so that we don't end up with litigation and ultimately Supreme Court appeals that try to address something that was not done prudently. So that's my concerns. I want to see both the sponsor accomplish his original goal, not just getting something done now, but actually accomplish the goal as well as the defense bar understanding it. So that's what I think needs to happen before we move it forward.
Very good. Go ahead, Representative Stevens.
I move to defer this bill to a date as set by the chairman.
Do we have a second? Discussion on the motion. All I would ask is if one of the representatives to my left that has a law degree would like to act as a representative of the council of this committee to sit down with Representative Hager and make sure that you're comfortable with what's going on and explain it to the rest of the folks. And then I'd ask all the lobbyists out there, if you have a chance to take a look at it and come back and just tell us, it just removes the conviction requirement for forfeitures and combines things. That's the goal.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think Representative Johns raised his hand.
I didn't see him raise his hand. Did you raise his hand? He was the only one that behaved himself so far. I wasn't going to pick on him. Very good. All right. So, Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll? We have a motion to defer to another day on House Bill 1088 as amended.
Representatives Hunt.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Lucento.
Aye.
Halbert.
Aye.
Langer excused. Lauderell excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Westra excused. Gibson.
Aye.
Hillard.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Nicholson.
Aye. All right, that motion carries 10-0. Now, we'll see how the next one goes. Thank you, Representative Hager.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Next item on the agenda is House Bill 1064, a bill to apply certain penalties regarding damages, tampering, and malicious acts to certain railroads that carry passengers. How are you doing? Do we have an amendment on this bill?
Yes.
Good.
I assure you, it's not however many pages that last one. This is not one of those amendments. In the interest of saving you some time, I hope you will let me address the amendments in the bill at the same time, and then at the proper time we can take care of the amendment and the bill.
So. Representative Vercio, did you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mike Vercio, Representative District 30 in the beautiful western part of the state, probably God's most favorite part of the state. In Pennington County, Fall River County, and Custer County, where virtually every tourist attraction in the Black Hills exists. Which brings us to the reason I'm here. One of the most successful attractions in the Black Hills, and I'm sure everyone, or maybe not, but I think everyone has heard of the 1880 train. They bring 90,000 visitors a year to the town of Hill City, which is like 960 people. So you can see it's a rather important economic driver for Hill City and the whole tourism industry in the West. This is a train that has 12 miles of track that run between Hill City and Keystone, South Dakota. In the peak of the season, they run 5 trips a day. And on those trips, they carry approximately, when they're in the peak of the season, 460 passengers each time they leave the station. So it is a big deal for us. The problem that we're facing with the 1880 train is when it comes to some unhappy people, and also some people who are just doing it for the heck of it, for the thrill, is obstruction of the track by putting boulders or cutting down trees and laying them across the track. Some are done by unhappy landowners who we happen to have easements on, so they have to cross the track with their vehicles to get to their property, whether it be a house or a pasture. And again, then just pure vandalism. To this point, there have been one minor derailment caused by this. Nothing major with personal injury at this point.
But if that does happen, it is currently a misdemeanor. And what we're asking for is a very simple change. And as you see on the amendment, it would be to 4916A, 107, and 108 that would make those acts also a felony as it would be on any other railroad. A misdemeanor when you're putting people's lives in danger versus a felony for a load of wallboard, I guess, doesn't make much sense to me. So if you could help protect the people, we'd really love that. And the second thing we've done is added in the amendment that you would have to own a minimum of 5 miles of railroad track so that we wouldn't have to. I believe there's like a one-mile railroad in the eastern part of the state that it's pretty easy to monitor that. You can see the whole thing right there where this track runs through the mountains. So I would certainly appreciate your favorable vote on this, and I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Virchio. Is there any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1064 or the proposed amendment? Is there any opponent testimony on House Bill 1064? I don't see any. Why don't we open it up for committee questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hunt.
Representative Virchio, you said something in your comments about the fact, like any other railroad. Why isn't the 1880 railroad covered by existing law?
Because it is considered a tourist attraction versus a common carrier railroad.
Follow-up? So in the statutory law today, they use the term common railroad as such.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed on line 6 of the bill it says a tourist railroad carrier. Is that defined in statute anywhere?
That you're looking at me, but I mean, I think that sentence defines it, Representative Gibson.
Okay.
So the answer is no. I don't believe it is. Representative Killer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative. When there's an item placed on the track, how long is the attraction out of business for? How long does that process take?
A tree is a particular problem, even though they do carry a chainsaw in the engine, but they have to cut a tree small enough chunks for the guys to physically remove it from the track. A boulder is a different problem in that they have to lever that off. You can't pick that up. So I would say on the average tree, I would say probably 20 minutes, and the average boulder half an hour.
Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How often is this happening out in Hill City, Mr. Chair?
Unfortunately, multiple times every season. There is one particular landowner that we wish we could catch him on camera, but we haven't been able to yet. That appears to be the problem.
Any other committee questions? We'll see any. We'll move to committee discussion and or action. Representative Gibson?
I would move due pass on House Bill 1064.
I think we're on the amendment first. 1064 FA.
I'll move due pass on Amendment 1064 FA.
Motion by Representative Gibson, second by Representative Hunt on Amendment 1064 FA. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment carries. We are now on to committee discussion and or action on 1064 A as amended. Representative Haugard.
I think the amendment and the bill itself are fine. The amendment clarifies that it doesn't apply to certain railroads, and I know of one like at Prairie Village in Madison. I'm sure that's less than 5 miles, so that would not be included. They control their own area, whereas the 1880 train is a little different. It has a broader scope, so I think it's appropriate, and it should be moved forward and passed.
Anyone have a motion? Representative Johns.
Well, I would move to...
Yeah.
Second.
We have due pass by Representative Johns on House Bill 1064 as amended, second by Representative Haugard. Discussion on the motion.
Certainly. As a former maintenance and way worker for Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Paul, and Pacific Railroad through college and part of law school, I think this is very important legislation because they can do much more damage than just causing minor inconveniences. They can be pulling spikes and pulling the tie plates and all sorts of things, and you're endangering lives. So it's important legislation. I would move that everybody give it due consideration.
Further discussion, Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have a cabin out near Hill City and go in and take tourists on the and friends on the 1880 train regularly. I know the conductor and his mother and everybody affiliated with the train, and I know that this is a problem, and so I urge due pass as well.
Very good. For any other discussion? Seeing none, the motion is due pass House Bill 1064 as amended. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representatives Hunt.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Langer excused. Letterell excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Estra excused. Gibson.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Nicholson.
Aye.
15 yea and 3 not voting.
House Bill 1064, as amended, having received the affirmative vote of the committee, proceeds to the House floor. Any further committee action on House Bill 1064? Seeing none, the next item on our agenda is House Bill 1105, a bill to give the court discretion to grant a continuance of a protection order in certain situations. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1105.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Timothy Johns from Lawrence County, representing the District 31. I'm here today on House Bill 1105, which is an act entitled An Act to Give the Court Discretion to Grant a Continuance of a Protection Order in Certain Circumstances or Situations. When an individual deems that it's necessary to receive the protection of a protection order, either for because they're a victim of domestic abuse or for stalking, they can come to the court and they fill out an application, and that is provided to them by the clerk. That application sets forth their reasons why they need the order, and then that application is submitted to a judge. Now, the judge is going to review that and determine whether or not a hearing should be granted or set on that application. The applicant also has a right to request that there be a ex parte protection order pending the hearing, and our law requires that that be heard within 30 days. Ex parte means that the other party, the respondent, is not present, so they cannot respond to it. So it's important that it be heard as soon as possible, so the law says that you must do it within 30 days. This amendment as proposed would give the court some discretion, and it would allow the court to continue that 30-day period under certain circumstances. Those would be where the parties have either stipulated to it or if the court finds that law enforcement's having a problem trying to locate the individual. And what's happened is that oftentimes they keep coming back, and the court has to continue to extend it. And in other circumstances, you'll have a divorce case, and the parties want that ex parte order, that temporary restraining order, continued while they try to get everything resolved. And so it happens oftentimes that they will agree to it, and then this just simply gives the judge some discretion in that area. The judge always can say, no, I don't think it's appropriate to grant the additional continuance. But it's just another tool in the judge's toolbox, and I would ask that you give it due consideration and submit this to the floor with a due pass. Thank you. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Greg Satizon, State Court Administrator for the Unified Judicial System. We think that the proposal makes sense. It provides discretion, but it also provides some limits to that discretion based on the good cause finding and the stipulation or the fact that the sheriff can't locate the individual. So we think it does make sense. Obviously, we always want to get these handled as soon as possible, but for some very good reasons, that may not happen within that 30-day time period. So we support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Satizan. Is there further proponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony? Committee questions? Committee discussion and or action?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stevens.
I move due pass on House Bill 1105.
We have a due pass motion by Representative Stevens, second by Representative Gibson on House Bill 1105. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is a really good bill from a practical standpoint. As Representative Gibson, I served on the Domestic Abuse Committee. This is really, I think, supplements what we did on that committee and legislation that was passed thereafter. There are situations where, you know, you get an ex parte order and the person is literally hiding out. And so this gives additional protection. It also gives protection for the individual who might be accused, because if you have the continuance, you have attorneys then involved, and I think everybody's due process rights are being protected in this regard. And so I think it'd be a good bill to pass.
Any additional committee discussion? Seeing none, the question before the committee is due pass House Bill 1105. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representative Hunt.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Hogarth.
Aye.
Langer. Excused. Latterell. Excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Westra. Excused. Gibson.
Aye.
Hiller.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Nicholson.
Aye.
10 yea, 3 not voting.
House Bill 1105, having a seat, received the affirmative vote of the committee members, now proceeds to the House floor. Any further committee action?
I move consent.
Any objections? Like all in favor of House Bill 1105 proceeding to the consent calendar, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It'll go on consent. Next item and last item on our agenda is House Bill 1183, a bill to revise certain provisions regarding the jurisdiction of magistrate courts to issue protection orders. Representative Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Johns, Timothy Johns from District 31. This is another proposed bill dealing with domestic protection actions and stalking matters. Currently, only circuit court judges may hear those. The proposal is that law-trained magistrates would also have jurisdiction to hear them. Now, there's been some concern that there may be children involved, and I want to assure you that I've also confirmed the with various persons who are dealing with these on an everyday basis, including our presiding judge in the Fourth Judicial Circuit, who is Judge Michael Day, and who is the one who was the genesis of this proposed bill, that it won't be a problem. If we have a current statute, and I must first of all ask that I can speak both to the bill and to the amendment, which has been distributed and is 1064 FA.
Yes, you may.
Thank you. The proposed
1183 RA.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Looked the wrong one. Where'd we go? I don't have it here.
You trying to railroad us?
Here we go. Thank you. Grabbed the wrong one. It'd be 1183 RA. So may I speak also to 1183 RA?
Yes.
All right. The bill, as originally drafted, included language referring to SDCL 21-8 and 15-665, which deal with injunctive relief. It was determined that it was not necessary to include those two statutes, so the proposed amendment would simply limit it to 2219A, which refers to stalking matters, and 2510, which refers to domestic protection actions. So it's limited only to those two circumstances, would not expand then the jurisdiction of magistrates to hear any other actions or petitions for injunctive relief other than in those two circumstances. The proposal then is that they would have the authority along with a circuit court judge to handle these. Magistrate judges would review the initial petition. If they would determine that there's children involved, then the matter is assigned to a circuit judge and would not be heard by a law-trained magistrate. So that would alleviate any concerns both in the cases of divorce and or abuse and neglect actions. And we do also have SDCL 2510.3 subsection 3, which also now says that if there's any other lawsuit, complaint, petition, or other action pending between the parties, only or any new petition made pursuant to this section shall be made to the judge previously assigned to the pending lawsuit, petition, or other action, unless good cause is shown for the assignment of a different judge. So we also have the statutory protection requiring that they be heard. This is just allowing a little more discretion for the judges, for a presiding judge to allocate the resources within their circuit to the, so that we can utilize our manpower to the best of our ability. So I would ask that you give it due consideration. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there further proponent testimony, House Bill 1183, or the proposed amendment?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Greg Satizon from the Unified Judicial System. We would support the bill as amended. We think it really probably best is described as former Judge John's left it. This allows us to make sure we have the flexibility to match the resources with the demands. And if it's a rural area and a magistrate's traveling to that area, they should be able to handle these cases, in our opinion. And so that's why we support the bill. Thank you.
Further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Matt Konenkamp on behalf of the governor's office. We rise in support of this bill as well. We have highly capable magistrate judges that are capable of handling these stocking order and protection order cases. So we support the bill as amended. Thank you.
Very good. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1183. Any opponent testimony on House Bill 1183? Committee questions? Committee discussion and or action? Representative Gibson?
I move Amendment 1183-RA.
Motion by Representative Gibson, second by Representative Hunt on Amendment 1183-RA. Discussion on the motion?
I think that does what it needs to do and removes children from the equation on this bill and strengthens our domestic abuse laws.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Amendment 1183-RA signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. 1183-RA carries. We are now on to House Bill 1183 as amended. Do we have committee discussion and or action? Representative Haugard moves due pass on House Bill 1183 as amended, seconded by Representative Gibson. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the motion before us is due pass on House Bill 1183 as amended. Those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, would you please call the vote?
Representatives Hunt?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
DeSanto?
Aye.
Haugard?
Aye.
Langer? Excused. Lotterell? Excused. Peterson?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Westra? Excused. Gibson?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Nicholson?
Aye.
10 yea and 3 not voting.
1183 as amended, having received the vote, affirmative vote 10-0, 3 missing, proceeds to the House floor. We have motion consent. All in second?
Second.
Second by Representative Russell, motion by Stevens. All in favor of consent signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It'll go on the consent calendar. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Representative by Haugard, seconded by Representative Gibson. To adjourn, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.